Okay, so we're up to Mo'ed Katan Perek Bet. We're going to try to do the last two Mishnayot today to finish up our Perek.
Okay.
Well, this is my job.
So we're on 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Mishnah Dalet. En lokhim batim avadim ubehema, ela letzorech ha-mo'ed o letzorech ha-mocher she'en lo mayochal. We do not purchase homes, slaves, or animals unless it is necessary for the holiday. It's, nice, it's something that you need. Huh?
It's a nice class I'm in.
Yeah.
Houses, slaves.
Houses, slaves.
Right.
Yeah,
slave.
Yeah.
Shopping says it's not a problem, by the way.
No.
Houses and slaves.
And slaves.
Slaves,
slaves
also.
Okay. Slaves also. Make sure you have the slaves. Ela letzorech ha-mo'ed. Unless it's 100% necessary for the purposes of the holiday. So meaning, let's say a person, I don't know, a disaster happened to his home and he needs to purchase another home because he's got nowhere to stay or something like that. So then that would be permissible. Or we can... it's an interesting question of would something constitute if, let's say, a house goes up for sale,
right,
and the price is reduced, and if he doesn't jump on it now, so then he can incur a financial loss, right? So we've said in the past that that melechet davar ha'aved, something that will incur a significant financial loss, is usually allowed on the holiday. So if something goes up and then the person's saying, you know, limited time only, 3 days only on the market or something like that, or 3 days only at this price, then it's going back up.
It's
otherwise,
hard to say the guy's a financial loss.
Well, if he had, if he's looking for a new home, he wants to buy a home.
He's buying a home.
He's
but
buying,
it's going to cost him more.
But it's going to cost him more. He wants to buy the house. He's had his eye on that house. The house goes up, and now
he had a financial loss because.
Well, he's going to buy it afterwards. Let's say he's made up his mind. He's going to buy this house, but now it goes up, and now specifically it's going to be now different. That's like having a sale. Like we say people, they're during the 3 weeks when there's a sale.
When there's a sale.
And there's something, a person sees a wedding gown. A woman sees a wedding gown. She needs it for 2 months or but there's a wedding gown on sale now.
Right.
She wants to purchase it, put it in her closet because she's going to lose money on it. She knows she's going to have to buy it. So that could, you could make a strong argument that in that case, that would be good, even though it's not letzorech ha-mo'ed. But here the Mishnah seems to say only if it's something letzorech ha-mo'ed. Or another potential is letzorech ha-mocher. You're purchasing it because you want to help out the person who's selling it. She'en lo mayochal. The person who's selling it is in a strapped financial situation. So you want to do him a chesed by purchasing the home so he'll have money to be able to use for the holiday. So that's also a heter, a leniency that we have.
That's usually the case.
Again, it's usually
selling is usually
doesn't have what to eat.
Strapped. No, usually you're strapped. You need to sell
the phrase that they use over here is "en lo mayochal." He doesn't have what to eat. He doesn't. I mean, he needs that money for the holiday. He needs that money for. So then, even though you don't need it for the holiday, he needs it for the holiday. So for him, it's you're helping him use something for the holiday.
I don't think anyone that's buying a home would ever not be in that category. Meaning, you're buying a home, you're under pressure, you're trying to make a deal. You're always going to say, if I can't do this now, I'm going to lose it, or I may cost
money. 100%,
words,
for
it's
sure.
Never,
you think
never,
it's going to be a significant... Really?
No, not. In other words, everything changes every day.
Everything changes,
every
know.
Day.
So in other words, like he said, it might not be a discount, but tomorrow a guy may come in and...
So it could be that the current market that we live in might open up some potential for that. Not to mention that, like you said before, there's a lot of steps in the process of buying
a
home,
right?
So even if I tell the guy, here's an offer, I don't close, there's not a cost, there's inspections, there's this. What constitutes at this point buying the home that would be forbidden is another situation.
To be saying, don't schedule the closing on Chol HaMoed.
Well, that's easy to do most times.
Right, so that's really, otherwise, like you say, it's, When you make a deal to buy a home, you're months out.
Even
if it's a cash deal, whatever, you're still a month away.
Right.
Whatever.
So maybe it's not that you should close or move in. We're going to see the next part is transferring things from home to home, making a move on Chol HaMoed is another big one. So the idea here is that these kinds of purchases, big things, are very public. They're very known, and they deter the person away from the Mo'ed. So if it's not for the purposes of the Mo'ed, it will distract him. So that's why the rabbis don't want that to be done. En mefanim mibayit lebayit, aba mefanehu lahatzero. A person should not remove all of his possessions from home to home, right? Basically make a move or, transfer things from home to home. Aba mefanehu lahatzero. What he can do is he can take stuff out of his home and put it in his yard or in a garage or storage or things like that. Within that category is permissible. So if a person wants to do a little bit of cleaning or organizing in his home on Chol HaMoed, that's permissible. But to move to another house on Chol HaMoed is not allowed according to the
Mishnah. And on Shabbat, you're not allowed to do that, right? You can't clean up?
Organizing, being mifaneh, there's a whole perek in Masechet Shabbat that we'll learn. It's called perek mifanim, about what things you're allowed to sort of move around your home from your garage and your storage and things like that, what you're using it for. Let's say a person is moving things around, the Mishnah says to create more space to have guests. So that's a purpose of mitzvah, that's mutar. If he's doing it to have a place where people can come and study and learn, that's another thing that would be mutar. If he's doing it in the normal fashion, or he does it in a shinui, he changes up how he does it, that could also be allowed. We'll see some allowances for that. But or if a person is just cleaning up, like things are in the way, and they're just cleaning up, and in the course of cleaning up, they're putting things in the right spot, that's not forbidden. That's completely mutar. What we're talking about is doing spring cleaning and throwing things away and organizing and put this in storage and pack it up. That's something that we would forbid on Shabbat. En mevi'im kelim mibet ha'uman, im hoshesh nahem mifanan lehatzer acheret. So the Mishnah over here says, we do not bring home utensils or vessels or garments from the home of the professional. In other words, we know that a person is not allowed to give his things to a professional to fix them or mend them on Chol HaMoed. Professional is not supposed to be working. Let's say he gave it to him from before the holiday, right? But he didn't get an opportunity to take it, right? He gave something to the dry cleaner before or to the tailor before. He didn't pick it up from before the holiday. Now he wants to pick it up from there on Chol HaMoed. Yeah. So says the Mishnah, En mevi'im kelim mibet ha'uman. We do not bring home those things from the professional spot to your house. What would be the reason for that? Here's the...
Could he drop it off?
What?
Could he drop it off?
So it would be very...
Can they drop off my dry cleaners?
Can they drop it off for me?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question.
You're not telling the guy to drop it off. Man.
Well, let's see. He says over here, it would really depend on the... It would depend on the reason. So there's two reasons brought down here for why this is asur. Right? So he says, Yesh mevarim, some explain, hata'am mipene hatorah. Because it's a burden. You got to go to the guys, to the store, pick it up, bring it home. So based on that, if he drops it off, then you would be good. But there's a second reason is, Yesh meva'arim mepenei ha-hashad. Some people say there's a suspicion, there's a manita ayin issue. Shema yomru haro'im, the people will see and say, Shebal ha-kelim netanam netaken mechol ha-mo'ed, that he gave it on Chol HaMoed for the guy to fix it. So then, if he's bringing it back on Chol HaMoed,
you don't have that anyway.
Why not?
The guy's pulling up in his car. He could be delivering challah. He could be delivering your kid. He could be delivering anything.
No, it's just a drop-off.
He's dropping off dry cleaning. He's dropping off a suit that you made or something like that.
Is it because
of hashad, it's because of suspicion. So then it could be asur.
Would anyone even if someone saw me going to the cleaners with my dry cleaning and drop it off, I would say 90% of the people that saw me, more maybe, wouldn't even know that there was an issue with that on Chol HaMoed.
It's even worse. So now they're learning from your actions that what you're doing is allowed, right?
Now they're saying,
wow, Sandy, he goes minyan every day, this guy's a religious guy, that's allowed. And they're going to learn that it's allowed from
you. Out of the cleaners, right? Be mari dayim, but the cleaners dropping off to your house, I don't see that.
So I think that it's also mutar. I'll tell you why I think that it's mutar. If you don't, what I would say is very similar to Shabbat. I would say very similar to Shabbat, right? If the non-Jew does it on his own, like he's coming to drop off. Let's say you have either a schedule that's how it happens. Or so you're not instructing him specifically, I want this back at this time. He drops off regularly. Okay. And you've already set a price from before, and so there's no payment that needs to be done. So if he's coming and dropping off on his own and doing it, he's doing that for himself. He's not doing that for you. Right. And I would say that would alleviate all of
is
the
concerns.
Is that
even okay on Yom Tov? His day is Tuesday.
Yeah. If his day is Tuesday and it turns out to be Yom Tov and he drops off, you could take it. The question, you could even wear it on Yom Tov.
Could I leave my bag of clothes?
What do you mean leave it? And leave that for him to
take? Leave
that for him to take?
If he takes it on his own.
Again, so if you have the problem is you would have to set a price. You have to do what's called a price setting from before. You're leaving it there for him to take. It's as if you're instructing him that you want
him
to...
That's our system. I leave it outside, he drops it, and that's it.
Yeah, he's taking it on his own. Right. He could come at any time.
So he's taking it on his own. He could come at any time.
Friday, the fact that
he could come at any time. And if he takes it and he decides to clean it, he's doing that on his own, and you have a set price on that. That would be mutar. That wouldn't be a problem. You could also, I would also go as far to say, is if he dropped, let's say he dropped off a suit on Tuesday, right? First day of holiday. Now you're like, oh wow, the suit came back from the cleaners. I want to wear it tomorrow, second day of holiday. you could wear that, no problem. As long as you're, as long as you're not certain that he did the cleaning on the holiday, then you could do it, and you would never know. You would never know. You gave it to him. You gave it to him 4 or 5 days before that, right? You gave it to him 4 or 5 days before that. You don't know when he did the cleaning. You just know he dropped it off on this day. He could have did it before. The only issue would be like, let's say you dropped it off right before the holiday, and he gives it to you back same day afterwards. Then you're pretty certain he did it on the holiday. Then you wouldn't be able to do it because you can't benefit from that, right? So en mivim kelim mibet alman im hoshesh nahem. Now what happens? He says if let's say you're afraid that if it stays in the possession of the professional, someone might steal it from him or something. Something might happen. It could be damaged. You don't want to leave things in the, you know, you don't leave things in the dry cleaner for too long. You don't know what the guy's going to do with them, right? So he says if you're afraid of that, or im tzaricha uman nesuchro. Or the guy's going to charge you, let's say, extra for holding it, right? Because say, listen, you want me to keep these things? You know, I've got to charge you. I can't keep again. Something like that. Ve'en ba'ala kelima amino. The owner doesn't trustworthy that he's ki yareshe ma'yish'al mimenu sachar pi'ulato pa'am shniya. So then if he's hoshesh, mefanam lehatzer ahayret. What he could do is he could take them and put them in like a back alley, another person's yard or something like that. Like store them not in his home, store them in another private area or something like that. Because then again, he's avoiding the suspicion of what other people are seeing.
Gotcha.
And he's doing it in a little bit of a different way. So all of those would be concerns that a person could be able to have a leniency over there to take it back. Okay, let's go to Mishnah Hey. Mishnah Hey mehapinet kitziot bakash. A person is allowed to kitziot are like dried figs that he has out, you know, outside, let's say on his deck or on his roof, and now he's afraid that people will come and take them. So he's allowed to cover them in straw, either to protect them from the rain or to protect them from would-be thieves. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af me'abin. You even are able to arrange the figs in a pile, right? Put them in a pile so that they'll protect against each other as well. Is also another thing that you're allowed to do. I don't know how many people are doing this now. I don't know, that's not so practical. Mochre perot, people who sell fruits, ksut vekelim, or sell garments, mochrim betzina'a letzorech ha-moed. They're permitted to sell fruits and garments in a private area, meaning not in their public store, but they can do it in their home or something like that, in a more secluded area, if it's necessary for the holiday. So you got a guy comes to, you know, calls up Dan a suit or something like that, says, you know, I need a new suit for the holiday. He's allowed to purchase it to him in a private area when people are not going to see if it's necessary for the holiday. Right. So that becomes permissible.
With regards to the fruit, am I allowed to pick fruit from my own garden to use for my own use?
If it's for the purpose, you're saying it's for the purposes of the Mo'ed.
Yeah, I want to have, I don't know.
And why did you pick them from before the holiday?
They
weren't ready.
No,
you just left them there because
I'm allowed. In other words, I want to pick carrots. I want to eat them that afternoon on Chol Hamoed. Can I do it for my own use, not to sell?
It's a good question. I have to look into it. My instinct would be to say no, because that's a part of a melacha that you're doing to now start harvesting and gathering. But there might be a way in which it's mutar. Maybe you only do a little bit, only take what you need, and you don't start gathering more than what you need for the holiday. It's an interesting question. I have to look into it. I never explored that question before. People have like things in their backyard, trees.
Vegetable gardens these days.
Yeah. So here he's allowing selling fruit in a private area for the purposes of the mo'ed. I don't know if he would go as far to allow picking, because that's more of a melacha.
Yeah.
I have to take a look at it. So that becomes permissible. He adds in over here in the Gemara, they say,
Sheim. Sukkot, a lot of people go apple picking. That's like a.
Oh, during the. That's a hot. Right.
Sure.
A hot Chol HaMoed activity. Is the apple picking and things like that. Interesting. Maybe if it's recreational, I don't know. But they use it. They go, they make apple cider,
yeah,
they do the whole thing. He talks about over here a store that's open. He says, if a store is open only, let's say, to an alleyway or in a specific corner, meaning the store is not on a public road, so then he can open as regularly. He says, if it was open to the public area, he opens one door and he leaves another door closed. In other words, he makes some kind of a distinction to show that he's not selling in the normal way. Like he's open for people who need, but he's not looking to make a killing over here. Now, this seems to be not something that's observed so much. I don't know. I have to look into more because I mean, people do tons of shopping on the everyone's open. Jewish stores are open. Everyone's open, especially supermarkets, fruit stores. Everyone needs to buy things for the second half of the holiday, right? Everyone buys their things for the first half of the holiday. You know, second half of the holiday, Uri's is bustling. You know, the place is open. But the question is, how are they allowed to be open? It's isn't more in private. They're open in a public thing, and they're selling away. You know what I mean? So it seems like that. I guess in a situation where everybody knows, maybe it's for the purposes of the holiday. I don't know. It seems like an interesting, maybe just because of the way we live today, that people don't store things like that anymore, then it becomes permissible. I don't know. יש מבארים אתם שכל שאומנותם בכך כל השנה צריכים לנהוג בחול המועד בצנעה, אף שהוא לצורך המועד. This is how they do it all year long. They have to do it in a little different way, for the even if it's for the purposes of the mo'ed. So I have to look into a little bit more how come like people are just open. Clearly they're relying on something. I don't think that they're doing the wrong thing. I think they're clearly relying on something. There must be some development from this Mishnah. הציידים והדשושות והגרוסות עושים בצנעה לצורך המועד. A tzayad is a hunter, someone who, a fisherman, right? Someone who catches fish or birds or things like that. So, and a dashoshot is someone who is a grinder of wheat to make a certain kind of meal or porridge. Vehagarosot are people who grind up beans to make a certain paste or something. All of these people are doing melachot with food that are necessary for the purposes of the mo'ed. So again, they have a similar halacha that they're allowed to do what they do, but in a little bit of a private or maybe different way than they normally do, if it's for the purposes of the mo'ed. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Hem Hechmiru al Atzmam. So Rabbi Yosef, this might be, no, we say halacha is not like Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef over here says, all of these people are just are being strict on themselves. Nohagim la'achmir al atzmam, shelo la'asot b'chol ha'moed afilu b'tzina'ah. They don't even do it in private. They just decide to close down, and they're strict on themselves to not work at all on the moed. They bring it over here that they were mahmir al atzmam. Ve'en osim afilu b'tzina'ah. En halacha k'Rabbi Yosef. It sounds like Rabbi Yosef is saying that. Is he saying that they're strict to not do even bitzina'ah, and he's praising that, it seems like, right? Rabbi Yosef is saying, all of these people are mahmir to do bitzina'ah, and that's what you should do. You should be mahmir. And so they're saying,
you can understand it. You can understand it two ways.
How could you say they were strict to do it in private? Not doing it at all.
Right. He's saying these people are all being strict. So maybe he's saying if you wanted to do it in public, you could. But these people are doing it the right way.
So you're interpreting Rabbi Yosef as him hechmiru al atzmam to do it bitzina'ah.
Yeah.
But really, they can, letter really of the law, you can do it even without.
Or you can read it.
Maybe that's how Ori's is open then.
Right.
Maybe.
Or you can read it the other way.
But that's not how the commentaries, the Ben Ovadia over here interprets it, that they were mahmir al atzmam, ve'en osim afilu b'tzina'ah. They don't even do it in private. Right, so then they do it, right. And so they say, and halakha is not like, it sounds like Rabbi Yosef is saying, and that's what you should do, you should be mahmir. And the halakha is saying, the halakha is not like Rabbi Yosef, you don't have to be mahmir.
Ori still doesn't have a.
It could be that there are others who interpret this Mishnah differently, so maybe that could be the source. I have to take a look at it.
If
the halakha is not like Rabbi Yosef to be mahmir, meaning that you can by letter of the law be lenient over here. Yeah, that's I think what they're saying. Baruch Adonai Olam, amin ve'amin.